From the historic Loretto Abbey Chapel, with the kind cooperation of the Toronto Catholic District School Board, the National Catholic Broadcasting Council presents the Daily TV Mass.
Welcome to the celebration of the Daily TV Mass. I'm Father Peter Turonen. The televising of this Mass is made possible by the contribution from an anonymous donor from Quebec. This Mass is offered for the intentions of the family, for those attending the Mass, and for those at home. Our thanks to our donor for making it possible for tens of thousands of the faithful across Canada and around the world to begin a new week by sharing in this celebration. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And your spirit.
Brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. You were sent to heal the contrite of heart. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
You came to call sinners. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
You are seated at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Let us pray. O God, who renew the world through mysteries beyond all telling, grant, we pray, that your church may be guided by your eternal design and not be deprived of your help in this present age. For our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 years will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Dancing, O Lord, my God, I
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After spending 2 days in Samaria, Jesus went from that place to Galilee. For Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in the prophet's own country. When he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, since they had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the festival, for they too had gone to the festival. Then he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had changed the water into wine. Now there was a royal official whose son lay ill in Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went and begged him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The official said to him, "Sir, come down before my little boy dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and started on his way. As he was going down, his slaves met him and told him that his child was alive. So he asked them the hour when he began to recover, and they said to him, "Yesterday at 1 PM, the fever left him." The father realized that this was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he himself believed, along with his whole household. Now this was the second sign that Jesus did after coming from Judea to Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now this was the second sign that Jesus did after coming from Judea to Galilee. When we look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're called the Synoptic Gospels. So they have a particular perspective, a way of looking at the life of Jesus from three different angles. And when they present the life of Christ, they do so in somewhat of a chronological order. And they're also theologians, so they're providing an explanation and an interpretation of what Jesus is doing. So we can see that. But when we look at John is different. John, of course, he's reflecting. He was a disciple, so he understands the situation. He was the one that Jesus loved so deeply. But John presents things in a different way. So John, he doesn't call what Jesus does miracles in the traditional sense, but he refers them as signs. Why? Well, when you look at his gospel, we find that there are seven signs, and seven in our biblical understanding denotes completeness or wholeness in the Bible. So he starts off right with these different signs, and he's pointing to the fact that Jesus is the Messiah and he is also the God-man. So he's the God-man and the Messiah. And there's this progression and the different signs that he reveals to us. So in the first sign we heard from in Cana, when Jesus turns water into wine. But today's gospel, it's different. So what we see is that Jesus is going along and he comes back. And then there is a man, right? He's the official. And he has his son who is at the point of death. Now, as a priest, I can tell you that I think the most challenging thing is when you're accompanying a family to see the intense suffering of a family when they have a child who's sick. It's so unnatural to be able to see this, and it's so painful for the family. And when you accompany the families and you see that the families are praying and begging God and saying, "Father, please pray that my child can be restored back to me." So you can see that there's the faith of the parents, of the family members, and you see this poor child who's suffering. So only a parent can understand the anguish. And this man is in intense anguish. Now, when Jesus says what he says, he's not saying something to be insensitive. What the Lord is doing here, he's trying to elicit a deeper faith in this man. We can see that Jesus, at times, he gets frustrated with certain people. Why? Because they see him, right? They want the miracle, but they don't necessarily want the conversion. They don't want to actually follow him. They just want to go back to the way things were before. If we're honest with each other, we can see that perhaps maybe in ourselves, there might be a bit of that tendency. And that's something that needs to be repented and converted of in the season of Lent. So when Jesus says this, again, he's trying to elicit this faith in this man. So there's the child who's sick, and then there's the father whose faith is weak and who's about to bud. So the Lord says, "Go, your son will live. Go, your son will live." And it says the man believed what Jesus said to him, and he left. So the first thing he did was believed in the word of Jesus. So he believed what Jesus said, your son will be well. And then as he goes back, right, so there's this moment where he's going back, but this also denotes a journey, right? There's this journey, again, of faith. And it says that he's going back, he meets the slaves, and they tell him that his boy would live. And then he finds out that it's exactly when Jesus says he's going to be healed, that his son recovers. And it says that the father realized this, and then him and his whole household came to believe. This was the second sign that Jesus did. So this sign represents that Jesus is the master over space and distance. So Jesus is master over space and distance. Well, who can do that other than God? See, so he's showing us all of these beautiful things that are taking place. And we know for us as Catholics, as we continue on this journey of Lent, we're getting to the point where we're going to see the ultimate sign. And that is when Jesus is lifted up on the cross. So that's the sign, right? I am is going to be lifted up on the cross when he dies for our salvation. So all of these movements, again, are going in that direction to show us that Jesus is the God-man. He is the true Messiah. And what does Jesus come to do? Well, Jesus, we know, right? He came to heal body and soul. He came to save the whole person. And this is why we pray for physical healings. We know that there's a spiritual dimension that's always tied up. And it's not only for one person, but it's for many people. I can think of a recent example where there was someone, a child was born and was very, very sick. So what happened? The parents, priest, family, friends, the parish community, everybody's coming together to pray. And by the grace of God, the child recovered. So you see that the faith, see the one invitation to healing, this one sign, evoked the faith, a deeper faith, and a deeper trust in Jesus Christ. And you can see that, and we praise God for that. So how does this fit in with the first reading as well? Well, we know that Isaiah is a prophet who accompanies us throughout the season of Lent. And Isaiah, right, he has these beautiful visions of the future. So you can imagine, so he's with these people, he's speaking to his own people who are suffering terribly. They've lost everything, they're in the diaspora, right? They've been unfaithful, they've been crushed by the weight of their sins. But God, towards the end of Isaiah, right, this great prophet's writings, shows three things. He says the first thing is that the temple is going to be restored. So the temple was destroyed. He says the temple is going to be restored. And not only for the Jewish people, but even the Gentiles are going to come one day and worship there. And amongst the Gentiles, there are going to be priests who are going to offer sacrifice. So imagine that. It's the priesthood. And then the second thing is that he sees a new Jerusalem. So this new Jerusalem, again, is the glorious restoration of the city of God. And we know for us as Christians that new Jerusalem, right, is the heaven that's come down, and that our whole lives should be oriented towards that. And then the third thing, specifically from today's reading, has to do with the new creation. So again, he says, thus says the Lord, lo, I am about to create a new heavens and a new earth. A new heavens and a new earth. So we recall that this whole point of repenting in this life, right, especially during the season of Lent, is to ask God for forgiveness for our sins, right, and to do penance for others as well. We know that the curse that came to humanity as a consequence of the fall of Adam and Eve, right, is something that we still feel in our bones as well. But it's the new Adam and the new Eve are the ones that are going to restore everything. It's Jesus Christ himself who's going to create a new heavens and a new earth. And we know that what Jesus began, right, so we're there, but we're still in the process, we're moving ourselves towards that direction. Will there be a new heavens and a new earth? Now, the question for each and every one of us is, do we believe? Do we believe that even in the midst of our suffering, as the Jewish people at the time experienced, right, that what Isaiah's words were going to take place one day, do we really believe? I hope so. And if we're struggling to believe that the Lord will create a new heavens and a new earth, let us ask God for the gift of faith, for hope, and for charity. Because when we arrive at the end of Lent, when we go to celebrate the passion and the resurrection of our Lord, we pray that we have the same profound faith as this man did after that experience of witnessing this great sign in his own life. My brothers and sisters, let us bring our prayers to the Lord. For the baptized, as they continue their journey to renewal at Easter, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all those in our daily TV Mass prayer intentions, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Almighty and ever-living God, we ask in our community prayer that you might guide us to enter more deeply into the spirit of Lent and into the forgiveness, reconciliation, and renewal that it offers us. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
God of wisdom and light, your words guide our lives. Hear the prayers we make in faith through Christ our Lord. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received the bread we offer you. Fruit of the earth and work of human hands, it will become for us the bread of life.
Blessed be God forever.
Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received the wine we offer you. Fruit of the vine, a work of human hands, it will become our spiritual drink.
Blessed be God forever.
The Spirit of God, devour, be accepted by you, Lord, my sacrifices. I this day be pleasing to you, Lord God. Wash me, Lord, of my iniquities, cleanse me from all my sins.
Amen.
Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands. The praise and glory of his name, for our good all his holy church.
May we receive, O Lord, we pray, the effects of this offering dedicated to you, so that we may be cleansed from old earthly ways and be renewed by growth and heavenly life. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, almighty and eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For by your gracious gift each year, your faithful await the sacred Paschal feasts with the joy of minds made pure, so that more eagerly intent on prayer and on the works of charity, and participating in the mysteries by which they have been reborn, they may be led to the fullness of grace that you bestow on your sons and daughters. And so with angels and archangels, with thrones and dominions, and with all the hosts and powers of heaven, we sing the hymn of your glory, as without end we acclaim. Indeed, holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. For this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice and, once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me. The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis our Pope and Francis our Bishop and all the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles, and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, and with him, and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, forever and ever.
Amen.
At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom and the power, the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And your spirit.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace. Peace. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
Please join me now in this act of spiritual communion. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in this holy sacrament of the altar. I love you above all things, and I passionately desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, come spiritually into my soul, so that I may unite myself wholly to you, now and forever. Amen.
Let us pray. May your holy gifts, O Lord, we pray, give us life by making us new, and by sanctifying us, lead us to things eternal. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace.
Thanks be to God.
Our thanks to our donor for the gift of this Mass.